No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba, for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel, and trying out something new tonight on our Instagram feed at Illegal Curve. We say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Along with Dave Manouk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss the Winnipeg Jets and their continued infatuation with shutouts. Who loves shutouts more than the Winnipeg Jets? Absolutely no one. As of recently, the third straight contest where they have been involved in a shutout, be it a victorious shutout like they were on Friday in Seattle and were again tonight, or the losing end of a shutout like they were on Saturday in Vancouver. In fact, Dave M, the only thing that the Winnipeg Jets might like more than shutouts is hitting the post, which they did not once, not twice, not thrice, not whatever four would be, thrice, but five times in tonight's contest against the Washington Capitals. But a 3-0 victory, a very tidy home victory for the Winnipeg Jets, coming off of Saturday's disappointment in Vancouver. Nice to see you, Dave M.
Nice to see you too, Drew. And I will start the show with a little useless potpourri, but
yeah, potpourri time. There's nothing. It's not just for Ezzy eating it, folks. There's other things he enjoys.
Well, and win 41, which happened today against the Capitals in game 64. Were you with me? Yes. 22-23, which is last year. That came in game 73.
I see.
In 17-18, game 67. So this team is and continues to be well ahead of the curve when it comes to wins and what they're doing right now in this season. So I know a lot of folks were, isn't it amazing, Drew, that 0-4-1 losing streak and the world was ending and the Jets of last year were the Jets of this year. Well, this year's team, like I said, is 9 games ahead of last year's team. So that's a significant difference. That's a significant advantage for this club, this team, unlike last year's team, which, you know, had to scratch and claw during that final stretch to get into the playoffs. The only thing this team is scratching and clawing is whether they'll be in first, second, or third as they battle with Dallas and Colorado. And now, of course, they're 2 back of Dallas with 2 games in hand, 3 games in hand, I believe, still on Colorado. So the Jets are very well positioned to continue this run. And now with the newest additions who look like they're well at home in Tyler Toffoli and Colin Miller, Jets fans are understandably excited. And I have to tell you, because remember, this Washington team, Drew, I know you know this, but this Washington team, they were a hungry bunch. First of all, they were, I think, 7-2-1 in the last 10 games. They'd won 2 straight, but they also were on the outside looking in, trying to gain ground on the in the Eastern Conference. So this was a critical 2 points, and they were hamstrung. Yeah.
If they had a victory tonight, they would have moved within 1 point of the New York Islanders, who are in action later on in LA, but they would have moved within 1 point of the Islanders for the second wildcard spot in Eastern Conference.
So you're looking at a team that needed points. Tom Wilson, a late scratch. They activated TJ Oshie. And we were talking about it today at the morning availabilities. And it was interesting a little bit. I wasn't sure what was going to happen because, of course, it was a 6:30 start.
Yeah.
So my presumption, because I went back to December when they played a couple of 6:30 games against Detroit, and I don't remember the other team, but they had those 6:30 games, and the Jets chose, because the home team has the option, so the Jets chose to skate at 9:30. This time around, they chose to skate at 10:30. So they were on the ice at 10:30, which I guess, you know, made it a little closer to, especially because it was a Sportsnet game, you know that 6:30 is really closer to 7, right? So 6:40, whatever it was.
45, yeah.
So they skated at 10:30, but the Capitals were on at 9:30, and there weren't very many of them. If you looked at their roster, I think, I don't know what they have on the roster, but they don't have a lot of extras. So when Tom Wilson was declared a late scratch, they activated TJ Oshie. But again, like I said, that's a Capitals team that is, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, Drew. I wasn't terribly impressed by them tonight. There were some stretches, but I didn't think that they had a lot going on. And these guys didn't scream to me. And again, we don't watch the East the way we watch the West, but they certainly didn't scream out contenders or even a playoff team, to be honest with you.
No. If they get whoever's going to finish in the bottom of the Eastern Conference playoff race, sort of, whoever's getting that second wild card spot is first round fodder. You know, I don't care if it's Detroit or the Islanders or the Capitals. All those three teams are battling right now. They're just not good enough to compete against the upper echelon in the Eastern Conference. And I mean, I can't say the same for the West because of how great Nashville has been playing as of late. And you can't say this about the West because the Vegas Golden Knights, with all the additions they made, nobody's going to want to face, if Vegas finishes in the second wild card spot, nobody's going to want to face the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round after what they did at the trade deadline. And, you know, assuming they get healthy in time for the playoffs, it can't be said for the second Eastern Conference wild card spot, where whoever finishes there is likely going to be bounced in the first round pretty easily. From the Jets' perspective, though, I thought this was a good bounce-back game. I mean, we heard what Rick Bowness had to say on Saturday night, which was exactly correct. Worst game the Jets had played in 2 years. So the question is, and it's not that, it's a pretty quick turnaround. You know, you fly back from Vancouver, so, you know, you lose a couple hours. Well, you lose 3 hours to be exact, because you got daylight savings time, which also kicks in. So you fly back to Vancouver or from Vancouver, and it's a pretty quick turnaround until the next game. It's not like you get a couple nights off when you're flying, you know, when you go out to the West Coast. Sometimes you get 2 or 3 days between games. That wasn't the case here. You're right back from the, you're right back in from the frying pan into the fire against the Capitals tonight. And the Jets, I thought, recaptured the game that you saw against the Seattle Kraken, and probably were even better than that game against the Kraken. The Jets just really were stingy in all the right ways. Washington, you know, yes, they got some shots on goal, but Connor Hellebuyck certainly, had a bounce back performance compared to how he played on Saturday night. This was a very tidy victory by the Winnipeg Jets. Just, they looked in sync with one another. They looked, focused at the task at hand, and the new guys, Toffoli and Colin Miller, certainly didn't look out of place in their first game as members of the Winnipeg Jets.
No, that's a good point, Drew, and I would agree with your assessment. That was a tidy effort, and you wanted to see how the new guys would fit in, and I thought they looked real good. You could hear how comfortable these guys were, right? And there, it goes a long way to having familiarity and connectivity within a dressing room. So for these guys, first of all, to come together in the sense that they were flown by private jet here to Winnipeg, they got a chance. Colin Miller was telling us he has an 11-week-old child and a golden retriever. The dog pack in Winnipeg got a little bit bigger with the addition of Nelly.
Yes, but he brought the dog, not the kid.
Well, I think he brought both, actually, because
saw pictures of the dog, not the kid. How about that? That's right.
But the point is that the families were able to come together and, help each other out. And it makes it a lot easier. It makes it, you've got the familiarity. But, I mean, you already know about all the linkage between Tyler Toffoli and Sean Monahan and Tyler Toffoli and Gabriel Vilardi to a lesser degree. But Alex Iafallo, who he considers to be a real good friend. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Colin Miller through his time with Nate Schmidt in Vegas. So those guys have some connectivity. Although, ironically, Colin Miller punted Nate Schmidt out of the lineup. So it was funny that today we were talking to Miller and he did his media availability. Those media availabilities, Drew, easy for me to say, are available on illegalcurve.com and on our YouTube channel. So not now, but after, you can make sure you can hear the first media availabilities with Miller and Toffoli. But no, the point I was making is that he was asked about Nate Schmidt's energy. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, you're like, well, it's unfortunate for Nate Schmidt, but Colin Miller will likely supplant him in the lineup. Although it sounds like Rick Bowness's plan, Drew, whether it's with Cole Perfetti or any of those guys on the fourth line, is really sort to keep, and we talked about that, right?
Yeah.
But it makes a lot of sense. Keeps guys fresh. Mm-hmm. You probably are less susceptible to injury because you're not overly taxing these guys. And sure, the Jets have some easier games down the stretch, but they also have some tough games. So you want to be able to have these guys be fresh. So I like that you're going to be able to get Nate Schmidt in and Colin Miller in, and maybe even Logan Stanley in, just so you don't have to worry about guys being sitting and really being, cold. And then, 10 games later, you say, oh, by the way, we need you because the first round of playoffs, because this guy's out.
Right.
So it's going to be, I think
you keep everybody sharp, you keep everybody on, you know, on their toes, and everyone expecting that, you know, yes, I may have been scratched tonight, but I might be next man up tomorrow. And not just in the cliche version of next man up, but actively in the lineup, actively contributing, so that there is no, you know, especially as you get closer to April and the start of the playoffs, you can't have a learning curve. There's no option to sort of ease your way back into the flow of things, because the games are getting tougher and they're getting more important as you go along. So you need everybody ready to hit the ground running, or skate the ground running, or hit the ground skating, I guess is what I meant to say there. Yeah. I think that's a good problem for the Winnipeg Jets to certainly have. Look, everything about the Jets game today, I thought was positive. You know, you have all four of those lines. I thought all four of those lines were dangerous. All four of the forward lines were dangerous. You know, Perfetti, Barron, and Namestnikov, if that is your fourth line going, I thought they were very good tonight. And they were the, according to expected goals, they were the worst of the Jets' four forward lines. They had an expected goals percentage of only, and I'm putting only in quotes there, folks, of 59%. So that tells you just how good the other Jets' lines, Ehlers, Connor, Scheifele, finally you get to see those guys back together. And we saw them connect on the Jets' third goal, but they had glorious chances really throughout the course of the game. They had an expected goals percentage of 70%. So you
is that
knew,
good?
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, I don't, again, you don't have to really subscribe to the fancy stats too hard, or delve too deep into the fancy stats to know that that's a pretty good number. And say Appleton, Lowry, Niederreiter, they combined for the Jets' first goal. They're up at 66%. And Iafallo, Monahan, and Toffoli, three guys. Again, those are two of the new guys, and Alex Iafallo, you know, good veteran force, 65%. They contribute to a goal as well. So everything about the Winnipeg Jets game tonight, I thought, was just very, very solid and very steady. And they were the better of the two teams against a weaker opponent. And that's exactly what you expect them to be. That's exactly what you want them to be, is to say against a team like Washington, like they did against Seattle, no, we're better than you. We're just going to go and win the game. And we're not going to do it necessarily in a flashy manner. There wasn't a lot of flash. There wasn't a lot of glitz and glamour to the Jets game. It was a workmanlike effort where the more talented team worked harder than their opponent, and as a result got rewarded because they are more talented and because they at the very least match their opponent's effort. That's usually, you know, as long as you match your opponent's effort, you know, with the exception of games where you're going to get goalied every now and then, long as you match your opponent's effort, the better team is likely to win.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point, Drew. And this was a test, right? This was a test. Look, it wasn't going to determine anything ultimately, but it was more just how is this team going to respond to the words uttered by their head coach. And I don't think Rick Bonus was playing to the crowd. I think he was just pissed off after that game in Vancouver. And he wanted to see how his team would react. And, you know, especially when, and obviously we knew that Tyler Toffoli and Colin Miller weren't going to play in the game on Saturday in Vancouver, but you still wanted to see, like, this team was rewarded for their play to date with two acquisitions, the trading of draft capital, which, as we talk about often, is important for this. Hike Eisenharve is important for this organization, but they traded it away with the goal of becoming a Stanley Cup champion, which, as we joke about, is you're happy to pay that all day, every day, if you win the ultimate prize. But, you know, I think, like I said, he just didn't. We said that the flu, right? We talked about the flu a lot on Saturday. But, you know, I was thinking about it after the fact, and I was like, well, it's interesting. How does the same team do what they did to Seattle? Flu supposedly was still there. You don't you don't get the flu back after going away. So the flu was there. They just didn't. I mean, you could say they were zapped, whatever. But the point is, the effort wasn't to the same degree on Saturday as it was on Friday. That effort is back today. And so to me, that's what you wanted to see. You wanted to see that this is the team that says that was an anomaly. This is our normal. And this is what we're going to bring, that kind of effort. We saw it almost from the get-go, Drew, except for that high danger chance that they gave up 18 seconds into the hockey game, and Connor Hellebuck made a spectacular save.
Yeah.
But then right after that, you know, the Jets went on an 8-1 shot run and of course got the first goal and then didn't really look back.
Yeah, and you need to match that effort because lo and behold, look who's coming to town on Wednesday. It's the red hot Nashville Predators, and the, you know, Nashville has played their way, you know, firmly into a playoff position, and great for them, good for them. But you know that they want to be. They're not yet being breathed in the same air as the top three teams in the Central Division. Well, they want to change that, and they want to change that on Wednesday. They want to come into Winnipeg and make a statement against the Jets, just like they would want to make that statement against the Avs or the Stars and say, look, this
set, they did it to the Avs. I'm pretty sure they handed the Avs like a 5-1 loss like 2 days ago, or two or three games ago.
Right. And then, you know, so that, you know, they know that they want to continue that way. They want to say, no, we're not just happy to be, you know, the first wild card team. We want to be considered a threat. And so the Jets are going to need to, you know, certainly match tonight, if not improve upon it, come Wednesday against Nashville. And obviously on Wednesday, there's still not going to be a Gabe Vilardi in the lineup. There was sort of an expectation that he was going to skate today. And obviously he didn't skate. And it sounds like that, you know, whatever the day-to-day diagnosis, if it's ever been said as day-to-day, is now...
It has not been listed as day-to-day for the record.
Right, okay. Well, at the very least, you're not going to see him on this homestand. You know, if he skates by Friday, that might sort of be a bit of a surprise. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I'll give the official update from Rick Bowness, although I'm going to be honest with you, it's still rather confusing to me because it seemed a little bit inconsistent. But it is
a lot of word salad going on, right?
Well, his final answer really made no sense, but just to give folks the update from this morning's media availability, he was asked by Mike McIntyre, if he skated today. Now we knew that he wasn't on the ice for morning skate because we were all there.
Right.
And Rick Bowness said, no, we're not sure when he's going to skate. So then Mike's response was, okay, does this mean he had a setback? And Rick Bowness said, no, I say that it could be tomorrow. It could be Wednesday, Thursday. Let's say we hope he skates this week.
Right.
And then asked if once he's on the ice, that if it could take him some time to get up to game speed, we'll have to deal with that when we see how he's feeling and how the games are going. We'll fill that in when we get there. I'll be honest with you, I don't know what any of that means.
I think that means they're not going to rush him back. If it was the playoffs, he might be able to play on, you know, the first game back at 80% or 85%. But
yeah,
given where the Jets are in the standings, given that it's, you know, not essential, they want to get him as close to back to 100% as they can. But I mean, it's clear based on that comment, you're not going to see him on the ice playing in a game during this 3-game homestand. Maybe when they go out east. Next week, you know, they're going to Columbus on Sunday and then wherever.
New York.
Yeah, New York, New Jersey area. So maybe in one of those games, but you're not going to see him on home ice this week in one of these games.
And look, I think it's the right play from the organization. I mean, there's no, I just think it's just a very weird sort of, and it sounds almost like, you know, it's day to day in the sense that how Vilardi feels, because we don't know exactly what it is. I'm not going to speculate because there's no value in that anyways. But the point I'm making is that let's remember, this happened in Dallas on February 29th. Of course, where was that? Where were we February 29th, Drew?
Boston Pizza for the Illegal Curve Leap Day Party, a party so big it only happens once every 4 years.
That's what I wanted to hear. So the point is, that was February 29th. The next day, they practiced in Texas. Rick Bowness was asked, probably by Weber, what was his status? Because Vilardi did not skate. And his response was, well, he might be able to play tomorrow. We'll see. We're hoping, we're hopeful that he can play tomorrow. Turns out, they ended up flying him home and now he hasn't been on the ice in 11 days. So again, like I said, it is what it is. The truth is the Jets don't need him. The Jets need him healthy and ready to go for the playoffs. They don't need to worry about, you know, rushing him back. So it's a bit of an unusual situation just because there's not a lot of transparency, which again, they have no obligation to provide, but ultimately I'm with you. I don't suspect we would see him anytime on this homestand. And maybe you just see him in one of those four games when they go on the road.
Yeah, there you go. So let's get into the nitty gritty details of the game as we do on each and every edition of the Illegal Curve post-game show. We call it the Betway Game Recap, largely because it's sponsored by Betway.
The Betway Game Recap.
You know Betway as the most trusted voice in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is a proud supporter of us here at Illegal Curve, and we thank them for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Remember, if you're looking for a place to place a wager, we recommend that you head on over to Betway and bet your way. Please play responsibly. Jets and the Capitals in downtown Winnipeg tonight. The Jets open the scoring just about the halfway mark of period number one. You mentioned that the Caps had an early opportunity, you know, within about 20 seconds of puck drop. But after the after that in that first period, the Jets really had the bulk of the play and the bulk of the pace of the play, and they get rewarded. Neil Pionk getting his fifth of the year, assist to Mason Appleton and Adam Lowry. And it's a really nice play by Pionk, but you also have to highlight the efforts along the boards. The board battles won by Lowry, by Appleton. Appleton then finds Pionk, a cross-ice pass, and Pionk comes in, and he's got Max Pacioretty sort of on his hip. But Pionk does a great job of dropping his shoulder and using his leverage to almost box out Pacioretty, and he wires it past Charlie Lindgren, the Capitals goaltender, and the Jets have the all-important first goal of the game, this coming at the 10:05 mark of period number one.
Well, the first goal, because the Jets haven't been doing that, right, Drew? And they haven't been scoring in first periods. Like, this has been a third period team, it seems like, and now you get rewarded for playing well. And that's the thing with the Jets, you know, dominating, as you said, for the first 10 minutes of that game. And I like the aggressiveness. First of all, Mason Appleton, who's been much maligned, you got to give him a nice vision on this one, because like you said, Adam Lowry,
good game. I thought he had a good game for the Jets.
That we've been saying that more and more.
Even on Saturday, where nobody played well for the Jets, I thought that he was at least noticeable for good reasons on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I was going to say, like, it seems like more and more of late, we've been saying Mason Appleton, because I know a lot of people were wanting to tar and feather the Wisconsin product, but I thought he's been much better for the right reasons of late. And so you give him, like you said, you give Lowry credit for winning that board battle and, you know, kind of imposing his will along the boards. And then Mason Appleton being in the right place at the right time to see Neil Pionk. And again, the aggressiveness of Neil Pionk to be willing to kind of activate and seize that opportunity. And so the Jets get rewarded, and they've got the 1-0 lead, you know, over the Caps. And like I said, it was a good way to start the game for Winnipeg, because you wanted to see what they were going to do, like I said. And they responded well to their coach's challenge, and they're, again, like I said, rewarded with the first goal of the game.
Yeah, exactly what the Jets wanted against the Washington Capitals team that, again, as we talked about, really a shell of their former, you know, Stanley Cup contenders. I mean, Alex Ovechkin is still there, but really not a significant role in tonight's game, not a significant impact in this game. I mean, it was a game that should have been played at 5-on-5 from the Jets' perspective. And that's where it was, largely was. That's right. So that's what the Jets want, because we knew entering today's game the last month, Washington's power play had been the best power play in the NHL. And so what you want is, you don't want to give them power play opportunities. And the Jets did a really good job at that, and keeping out of the penalty box, with the exception of the one penalty, relatively early in the third period. But the Jets, you know, other than that, at 5-on-5, the Jets really did control the bulk of the game and everything else. So that's, you know, what you wanted the Jets to do. That's what you expected the Jets to do in terms of, just the best case scenario for the Winnipeg Jets was that you play this game at 5-on-5 and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. And they fell certainly in the Jets' advantage because of their performance. And that first period, you know, 12-5 shots on goal. Greg Millen on the broadcast was talking about it, that, you know, the Capitals were fortunate to get out of the first period only down 1-0, given how the Jets had, controlled the bulk of the play. Second period, Washington with a better performance in the second period, but the Jets have Connor Hellebuyck. I mean, I didn't think that Connor Hellebuyck had to stand on his head, like, make grade A save after grade A save, but Washington looked like they sort of found their skating legs a little bit in that second period, Dave, and pushed back a little bit on the Jets.
Well, I think they got a heads up from their coach saying, look, you know, these are the games we need to be in. We need to be, you know, winning hockey games like this. We can't afford to play soft. And, you know, unfortunately for them, they hadn't, you know, and this is to kick off, I think it's a 5-game road trip for them. So, I mean, you wanted to start it off on the right skate, Drew, and they didn't because, you know, I mean, well, they didn't start a lot of stuff in the first period. And that's just not the way, you know, you're going to win hockey games and be a playoff team. And, you know, this Washington team, and look, I don't want Spence to accuse this of becoming Capitals lunch, but I mean, like it's not, it's kind of like one of those in-between teams, right? The thing that people were accusing Winnipeg of almost becoming, right? With that uncertainty as to where you're going to go. Are you going to blow it all up, or are you going to try and rebuild it? Or what exactly is the plan? Again, I will give them credit. They have one of the best farm teams in I think they actually are the best team in the AHL, and Hershey
Bears.
But they're always one of the best farm teams, right? And former Manitoba Moose in the 17-18 season, Michael Scarbosa, who signed with Hershey/Washington after that season, he's still plying his trade. I think he's played, 10 or 15 games this year for them. So he's still having an impact, so good on him. But, you know, I mean, like I said, they're just – and I know they have injuries, but it just seems like it's keeping the band together. And look, they've got their Stanley Cup, so I understand. But at some point, you're going to have to figure out what exactly is the plan in Washington. And it doesn't seem like there is one.
Well, yeah. I mean, the contract they signed Tom Wilson to in the offseason made no sense. He wasn't in the lineup, as we mentioned. But that, you know, that was a contract he signed to a guy when he's just sort of, you know, coming up and ready to really have a significant impact. Not a guy who's a veteran towards the end of their career. But whatever. We don't, like I said, we don't need to delve too deep into the Washington. But
those are the decisions you have to, like, again, you have to be that. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, if you're Vegas, you're cutthroat. You say, thanks for helping us win a Stanley Cup. You're done. Like we're moving on. We're bringing in younger assets, and you trade him while he still has value.
There you go. Watching the Illegal Curve post game show, Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk. This is the Betway game recap as we're going goal by goal to discuss the Winnipeg Jets 3-0 victory over the Washington Capitals. And yes, for all of you in the chat talking about my shirt, I deliberately wore this shirt solely so that I could get a reaction out of all of you. Last on Saturday, I wore my happy shirt and that got a reaction. Today, I decided to wear my floral pineapple.
It's something, all right.
It's a shirt that I don't generally wear out of the house very often. Oh. But I did it for you folks to keep you entertained as we go through the goal by goal recap here on the Illegal Curve post game show.
And despite Drew's terrible fashion sense, everyone,
thank you.
Just joking, Drew. But it'll look good it'll look good on your 60+ cruise next week. But what I was going to say is, if you're interested, and unfortunately I'm not wearing it right now, but if you're interested, the Illegal Curve merch store is open for March. So we're already 10 days into March. So I probably should have been telling people before, but if you're interested in Illegal Curve merch, like this hat or the hoodies that Ezzy and Drew and I usually wear when not on today's show, maybe I'll do a quick outfit change during the commercial break, Drew, but the merch store is open. You can find it on, maybe I'll put a link on our Instagram because I don't think it's up there right now, but it is on the website. So look under merch and there's a link. And if you want, you can order it. And basically the merch store will be open for March. You can order it anytime in March and then it'll close. The store will close and then we will but our local contact will start fulfilling all those orders and hopefully have them within a few weeks. So there's the merch update kind of in the middle of a Betway game recap.
And the merch store is far better than the jerk store, which is also where you often can find me. So go to the merch store, not the jerk store. That's a separate issue altogether. Jets make it 2-0. This coming at the 8:16 mark of the second period. One goal a period today, folks. Made it nice and straightforward. Yeah. Nice and easy for us here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alex Iafallo, his 9th of the year, assisted Josh Morrissey, assisted Dylan DeMello. And what you like about this one is just the traffic that's in front of Lindgren, because there's multiple layers of traffic here. You have Iafallo who gets the goal. The puck sort of deflects in off of him after Morrissey just focuses on getting the point shot through the traffic, through the layers. And also, if I'm not mistaken, Tyler Toffoli also was in front causing chaos on this one. And some, I thought at first glance that maybe it deflected in off of him, but it didn't. It does go in off of Iafallo. It's not pretty. It's not, but it's effective and it's exactly what you want. Get people in front, get eyes in, get people blocking out the goaltender's eyes, and then the puck is going to glance off of a player and it glanced off of Iafallo to give the Jets the 2-0 lead just before the halfway mark of the second period and the halfway mark of the game, Dave.
Yeah, and look, we got to give Josh Morrissey credit for his exemplary skating, right? I mean, it's a nice pass, and it shows you that understanding between him and DeMello, how they know each other's games so well. But,
yeah,
you know, Josh Morrissey just skates, gives himself just that a little bit of space so he can find that soft spot to get that puck through. And then, you know, you give Iafallo and I mean, it's funny because Foley doesn't get any points on this goal, Drew, but right. Really he's taking away the eyes. And it's funny, like, again, to I don't want to break out into a moose minute, but it's amazing to me how often a guy like Jeff Mulotta will be standing in front of the net, doesn't get an assist for the goal, but he's taking away the goaltender's eyes. So without that play, without that positioning, it's not happening. And yet they don't get anything, unfortunately, for them. Well, they get a plus one, but we know what that's worth. But in this instance, it actually is worth something, because I think it does show how important Tyler Toffoli's role was in taking away the eyes of Lindgren and really setting up an opportunity for Iafallo and Morrissey and DeMello. So you like that kind of the entire line seems to be working well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like the composition. We haven't really talked about the idea that Rick Bowness went with, you know, the Monahan, Toffoli and Iafallo line, Drew, but
I was surprised by it. I mean, the fact that he, you know, it's, he had been so reticent to go with Connor, Scheifele and Ehlers.
Right.
That, you know, when that was the line that started morning skate today, I was a little surprised. You know, I think I was pleasantly surprised because everyone's been clamoring to see them together, you know, for a significant period of time because of the success they've had in somewhat short time they've played together. But I think I mentioned it, 70% expected goals, and they were dangerous all game. They had a multitude of scoring chances even before the one that they all combined on in the third period, which we'll get to. I mean, you like how comfortable the top six looks for the Winnipeg Jets, playing sort of interchangeable with one another. Now, we haven't seen them at full strength, of course, with Gabe Vilardi out of the lineup and the new guys just coming into the lineup tonight. But, you know, mixing and matching and having a fair bit of success there means that, you know, if something's not going great one day and you can go to, and you need to go to the blender for a game, well, these guys seem as though they still have some chemistry with one another.
Well, and I think, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Drew, you mentioned it, but like Rick Bowness, you talk about not his unwillingness. I mean, he's the one who said that Nikolai, he didn't like Nikolai Ehlers on the right side. He preferred him on the left.
Right.
And then he moves him to the right side. And you're like, okay, well, is this going to be a long-term thing? And we don't know. But I mean, it just seems like, and remember, and I'm not going to, I don't want to jump ahead. Maybe you'll mention it in the next period, Drew, of our analysis. But it's interesting to see what Ehlers and Scheifele created. And of course, right after, we know what happened, right? You know, seconds after that. But my point is, there's a lot, you can see the way these guys are working well together. And yeah. So, and like, look, I like Alex Iafallo, but I mean, ultimately, if you have, you know, I mean, the problem, I guess, with the Ehlers, Scheifele and Connor line is defensively, you worry about it a little bit, but.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned defensively. Sorry for interrupting you. And
go ahead.
We'll get to their goal in a minute. So their goal, of course.
Hey, Drew, we've only got three goals to talk about.
So I know, we can stretch it out. Exactly. Yeah. If we talked about every post the Jets hit, then we'd have to be going through these like lightning, like rapid fire.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
You know, so, you know, the goal starts in the Jets' own zone. And we'll get to that in a minute or two. But there were a couple of other instances where I thought Kyle Connor had effective back checks for the Jets. There was one where the Jets were cycling in the Capitals zone, and then he had the puck right up at the offensive blue line, and it sort of got knocked off his stick, or he lost control of it, and there was a bit of a turnover, and the Caps were maybe going to start a bit of a rush in the neutral zone, but he tracked back after his own turnover. And got the puck, stole the puck away, which I thought was a nice play by Kyle Connor. And he did another one very on that same shift. I think he stole the puck from the Capitals defenders which maintained it in the offensive zone for a little while longer. So, you know, look, he's not going to become a Selke winning forward. We know that about Kyle Connor. But like with Mark Scheifele this year, you know, he can play defense when he really puts his mind to it. And in tonight's game, there were a couple of instances where you saw that where he put his mind to it. The Jets as a whole played much better team defense than the catastrophe that was Saturday night. So they know that. I mean, I think the Jets themselves came into this game with the mindset that what happened on Saturday is inexcusable. We need to get back to success. And that's 1 through 12 forwards, 1 through 6 on the back end. I thought you saw way more of that today, including from some unusual members of the team.
Yeah. And I think, Drew, I think the point you're making, and I agree with it, is just that they got back to what was winning for them, right? You know, you sure you can win games 5-2 or 6-3, but the point is that your defensive structure being sound is going to create opportunities, which we saw in this game,
right?
Like you mentioned. And, you know, again, like the Jets don't have it. I mean, like, it's interesting because when you look at the points wise, right, the Jets are collectively getting it done. There's a lot of guys who are contributing, but they don't have, like, I remember, I'm not joking, I remember, and this is going back a little ways, but like when Mark Scheifele was hitting like the 50 point mark, I was like, oh, Scheifele's already at 50 points. Not bad. Cause again, our focus is, or my focus, I should say, is narrow. Jets Moose, Jets Moose. That's all I think about. But the point is that, you know, when I remember thinking, I was like, I think I had heard like Nikita Kucherov hit like the 100 point mark. I'm like, what? And then Connor McDavid's here. And then like, what's Kucherov right now? Like 110?
Some number that's so absurd that you can't wrap your brain around it. Yeah,
no, that's what I mean though. And it's wild because the Jets really are collectively getting it done. Like they've got a lot of, you know, contributors, and, you know, Connor has 27. Sean Monahan is in the 20. They've got a lot of guys who are hitting that 20 goal mark.
McKinnon's at 111 and Kucherov's at 107 and McDavid's at 103.
Like, it's just, it's unbelievable. Because again, our focus here in Winnipeg has just been on this team. And it's amazing because you're talking about team success versus individual success. And not to say that those teams aren't successful, because obviously the Oilers have had success and the Tampa Bay Lightning have had success. But I'm just saying, like, in Winnipeg, it's done a little differently. And, you know, you're seeing it in a variety of ways, but I just thought it was interesting to see the disparity, between, from a points perspective between the Jets and some of the teams. And yet the Jets are, you know, by winning percentage, what, third best in the NHL right now, third best home record, in the NHL. They've got 22 wins. So you've been seeing a lot of folks who go to the games, lots of wins at Canada Life.
Yeah, you certainly have been seeing a lot of wins at Canada Life, no question about that. The Jets wrap up the scoring in tonight's game at the exact 10-minute mark of the third period. So halfway into period number three, Kyle Connor gets his 27th goal of the year. It also is our Seagram shot of the game.
The Seagram shot of the game.
Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Whenever you're in the market for an alcoholic beverage, or maybe two, we of course encourage you to drink responsibly, and we also encourage you to drink any of the fine Seagram's products. Perhaps Seagram's VO is your drink of choosing. Its integrity, tradition, and craftsmanship available wherever your fine liquor products are sold. Big thanks to our friends at Seagram's for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. Beautiful third goal by the Winnipeg Jets. Connor, his 27th, assist to Scheifele and Ehlers, but it starts in the defensive zone with a great play by Nikolaj Ehlers. He wins a board battle. He chips it up to Scheifele. Now the Caps are pressing, obviously, on this play as it's a two on, you know, they're down 2-0 and there's only 10 minutes to go in the game. So they're playing a little bit more of a high risk style, as you might expect, but still a great play by Nikolaj Ehlers along the board. Another board battle victory for the Winnipeg Jets in tonight's game. And then Scheifele and Connor come in on the 2-on-1, and John Carlson is aggressive in going after Mark Scheifele, but Scheifele just slides the puck over to Kyle Connor, who puts the puck through Charlie Lindgren to give the Jets the 3-0 lead. And really, from my perspective, Dave, after this goal, the only question was it going to end up being a shutout for the Winnipeg Jets? Because I did not see the Washington Capitals staging a 4-goal comeback in the final 10 minutes of tonight's contest.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Drew. That was my only question, was whether Connor Hellebuyck would have the shutout, because it was a foregone conclusion when the Jets were up 3-0 that contest, it was over, Rock. And I like, you know, and the thing I said a few minutes ago, and the one thing I wanted to mention was just before this goal, we saw the chemistry of the Ehlers-Shifley combo, where Shifley makes that nice pass and Ehler with a little bit of a deft touch tries to get it on net and doesn't, not successful, but you could see the workings and the way that those two can kind of fit together. And then, like you said, Drew, a good defensive shift, like hard work by the Sandberg pairing. And, you know, that puck ends up and, you know, look, sometimes you got to worry about Nikolai Ehlers when he kind of does that little whip around pass. But, you know, in this instance, I think it was intentional what he tried to do. I think he was, you know, he had an eye as to where that puck was going. And then, you've got the Jets, you know, Kyle Connor is so money. And so he puts that in like butter. And it's a 27th goal of the year. The guy knows how to score. And Jets 3-0. And, you know, like I said, that at that point, we're already writing the recap. We're getting ready for the postgame show. We know it's, like I said, it's just a matter of filling in my final tweet. Is it 3-0, 4-0, 3-1, whatever it was going to be? We knew that was a Jets win.
Yes, it was a 3-0 Jets victory. One other thing I want to highlight here on the postgame show as we get through the Betway game recap. High danger chances for the Winnipeg Jets tonight, 17. High danger chances for the Washington Capitals tonight, 5. So, I mean, that just tells you how good the Jets were at keeping everything to the outside, how good they were at making sure that Connor Hellebuck saw everything, and how adept the Winnipeg Jets were in playing a style of game similar to what brought them so much success early in the year. And again, you look at Friday's game in Seattle, a similar recipe. The Jets played the way they need to, kept everything to the outside. I think would Seattle have 4 high danger chances in that game?
Something
maybe
like
it was
that.
5 also. So two out of the last 3, the Jets have done a very good job at keeping their opponent away from the scoring zone. And as a result, they've had 2 shutouts in their last 3 games. Now, 3 shutouts when you consider they didn't score in the Vancouver game as well. That's it for the Betway game recap here on the Illegal Curve post-game show. Big thanks to our friends at Betway for their continued support. When we come back, we have a little bit of an injury update on Vlad Namestnikov, plus whatever else we come up with here regarding the Jets and the Capitals and the Betway, or not the Betway game recap, the Tough Duck, hardest hitting toque still to come. Drew Mandel, Dave Manouk, over almost 450 of us here on this Monday night. Be sure to smash the like button, subscribe to the channel, and don't go anywhere, because much more of the Illegal Curve post-game show still to come live on all of our social media platforms.
BP's new New York Sicilian Square Footers. With a thicker crust than ever before, they're light and airy on the inside and oh so crispy on the outside. You're gonna have your work cut out for you.
Okay, fine.
Try the New York Sicilian Square Footers, only at Boston Pizza.
You guys ever wish for a game changer in life?
Like finding out your favorite snack has 0 calories?
Or discovering the mute button on Ezzy?
Picture this, a secret weapon for parking, where you can book a spot a whole month in advance.
Tell me more, Drew.
Pre-book your parking at really low rates, or maybe even for free if you use the code IllegalCurve.
Free? What is this, sorcery?
The Grid Park app. It's a real secret weapon that has affordable game day parking, and to sweeten the deal even more.
I love sweets.
Our listeners can use the code IllegalCurve to park for free.
Holy Zamboni!
Tell me about it. Just download Grid Park, GRYD Park, and use the code IllegalCurve, all one word, to park for free.
The game can change.
Ah!
Just like that. Accidents happen when you aren't protected. So now what? Getting to your injury quickly can make all the difference. Help prevent them from being game changers with Linden Market Dental Center. Bonding, crowns, bridges, and dental implants. State-of-the-art treatments are available to help you get back in the game. To learn more, visit LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Your coworkers love you because you always make them laugh. You're the life of the party with stories that have them rolling on the floor. Or maybe you're just the quiet one in the corner with the one-liners that just slay. Do you have what it takes to become Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job? Try your luck. Hit the stage at Rumors Comedy Club and you could be walking away with $1,000 cash. Winnipeg's funniest person with a day job. Presented by Rumors. For all the details, head to rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa, Ezzy. Everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environment. Even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Top of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you on this Monday night. I don't mind the early start because I don't mind the post-game show ending at a reasonable hour, but at the same time, 6:30, lots of kids stuff going on. The family is still in the swing of things. So
yeah,
two minds of it is what I would say along those lines.
I said to Mike McIntyre at the Free Press, who was sitting beside me in the press box, I said, Mike, I'm not a big fan of these 6:30. Plus, it's not really fair. You know, people who work downtown want to get home, want to maybe have supper with their family, then go back to the game. And, you know, for them to leave downtown, come back home, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of schlepping. So, you know, but Mike said, and he's not wrong, it's better for the writers because then they don't have to worry about deadline.
Exactly. Deadline's a lot easier. Another 6:30 start on Wednesday, and then they're back to normal, I guess, for Friday's game. And then they go out east. And, you know, those start times are all screwy as well. And that LA game, that's in April, the beginning of April, there's a game at home against
April
the Kings.
April 1st, yeah.
Yeah, that starts at 8 p.m. for some reason. So I have no clue what's up with that start time.
We're not on TV, Drew, but we're beholden to TV. That's what it
is. That must be what it is. We're beholden to something. I'm going to try and play Coach Rick Bonus now here on the Illegal Curve post game show. Will it work? I don't know. Fingers crossed. Let's go. Let's hear what the Winnipeg Jets head coach had to say after tonight's contest.
Nope. Not working.
Alrighty, so that wasn't working for whatever reason, because of course it wasn't working, because just when it works one time, it doesn't work the next time.
Well, for the record, the reason is because, just to be clear,
yes,
we have two photographers / videographers now. They're intended to only be photographers.
Yeah, and we doubled them up on their duties.
Colby's equipment is completely suitable for playing it live, which is why now, if folks have noticed, this was game 64, about 14 or 15 games ago, we started being able to bring coach in live and also simultaneously recording it, where Alex doesn't have the same equipment. So he's able to record it. Sounds good. Like I said, if you want to watch coach, it's available on the recap, which is on illegalcurve.com. And it's also available on our YouTube channel, but not while we're on live.
There you go. So yes, after we're done, you can catch it live, or you can go watch it on our YouTube channel. And hear what Rick Bonus had to say. He had an interesting comment about Cole Perfetti, though, which I wanted to highlight. He had intended to get Cole Perfetti up playing on the second line with Toffoli and Monahan to play left wing up there, but he chose not to. That was his intention, was to put him up there during the course of the game, but he chose not to because of how well Perfetti, Namestnikov, and Barron played. And I would agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many posts did Perfetti hit today? Two, if I'm not mistaken.
I think,
That line was very effective. And you can sort of see signs of Perfetti maybe beginning to pull himself out of the struggles that he is in. And those struggles, I mean, I know that people have been highlighting them and they've been talking about them, but this is a young player. You certainly don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. And if he can get some nice comfort and some soft minutes against softer pairings, maybe, and Namestnikov being such a great veteran, and everybody, you know, I remember Richie P. When he was on the show back in the day. Yeah, I know. Former guy, used to be yay tall, claims he's a scout for the Leafs now. I remember when the Jets signed Matthew Perreault, Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I remember Rich's, you know, analysis of that signing was he makes the players that he plays with better. And I think the same is true with Vlad Namestnikov. So if Vlad Namestnikov is, you know, and Perfetti, you know, can start to develop some additional chemistry, and then Morgan Barron is also there doing a lot of the dirty work.
Yeah,
I'm fine with just letting Perfetti sort of find his niche in that fourth line, because I think that should be a very successful fourth line for the Winnipeg Jets. Didn't get on the scoreboard tonight, the only line that didn't get on the scoreboard, but it wasn't for lack of opportunity, or it wasn't for lack of really an inch here and an inch there, and they certainly would have been on the scoreboard in tonight's game, Dave.
Well, and it was funny, Drew, because in the first period, at one point, I was like, hey, that's interesting. Cole Perfetti is on the first line, and he's with Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele, and you're like, what is going on here? And then, of course, we realize look down to the bench and we're like, what is going on? And then you see Nikolai Ehlers with his back to the ice working on an equipment issue. So we weren't sure exactly what was going on and if there had already been some sort of line juggling, because the Jets were doing very well. So it didn't seem like there had been a need for it. But it turned out it was an equipment issue for Nikolai Ehlers. So he was working on, I think it was a skate, trying to get it, fixed. And so I think it cost him one or two shifts. So it did give a chance to Cole Perfetti to kind of jump up and, play a role. But you're right. First of all, we like what Barron does anyways. And I think you sound much like Rick Bonus, who talks about the opportunities that, you know, Vlad Namestnikov can bring. And, you know, you don't want him in that elevated role. You don't want him as your 1C or your 2C consistently. But every once in a while, if you need to throw him in, you know, he's a veteran. He knows what he's doing. He's not going to make you look stupid, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so he seemed to have developed chemistry when he was on the line with Cole Perfetti. And like we've talked about, if you have a line 1 through 4 and they can all score and they can all produce and they can all control play, which these guys all did tonight, even though what did you say their final number ended up being at like 59%?
Something like that. Yes.
So even though, again, they're all controlling the play, all four of your lines, that's as a coach, what else can you want? Right. You had all the high danger chances in your favor. You had the possession numbers in your favor. The offensive zone time was in your favor. Everything was in your favor against the team. You can say the Jets are better than Washington. They are, but Washington's the hungrier of the two teams. There's no question about it. So the Jets were able to do that. And yeah, you're right, Drew. It's a big boost when you have a fourth line that can, even though you, like you said, they didn't get on the score sheet, they still produced opportunities.
Yeah, they certainly did. Here's some interesting comments from Washington Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry. Now, this is courtesy of Darren Bauming of Bonfire Sports. He goes into the road team dressing room usually at the home games here. So this is what the Capitals head coach had to say about the Jets and the loss to the Jets. Quote, well, the Jets, had the puck for 75% of the game. That makes it difficult to create any offense. And when we did, not nearly a good enough job getting to the interior, zero traffic on Hellebuck. So anything that we did generate scoring chance wise, he saw it clear. Obviously, everybody knows if he sees a shot, he's going to stop it. So it's not a recipe for success against this team. More from him, quote, just right from the start, it just felt like me when I was standing there watching, not was just bigger, faster, stronger. Every facet, they just were bigger, faster, stronger. So you've got to tip your cap. That's a really good team that just got better with Toffoli and Monahan and those guys. It just felt like they were bigger, stronger on pucks, and they were just way quicker than us everywhere. So some high praise coming from the head coach of the Washington Capitals. Fair comment, of course, as well, about the sort of one-sided nature of tonight's victory by the Winnipeg Jets over the Washington Capitals.
And I think teams have figured out, if they want to slow Winnipeg down, don't give them any power play opportunities, because until that third period and the too many men, it didn't look like the Jets were going to get, what did they have, like one power play in the last three games, Drew, or something? Like, I mean, obviously
they've had two power plays in their last three games.
Yeah, because
they had a late power play against Vancouver, but both of those, so they've had two power plays in their last three games. Both of those power plays have come late in the third period when the games have been mostly decided at that point in time. But the first power play unit for the Jets tonight did look good in their one opportunity.
For sure. They could have, I mean, again, you talk, what did they have? 17 high danger chances in that was
a five on five though, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like but the fact is that this team was, you know, again, creating and creating at 5-on-5, which has been the bread and butter of this hockey team for the entirety of the year, right? You are what your record says you are. Well, your record says you're a very good hockey team, and your record says that you're a good 5-on-5 team. And the Jets are getting back to playing that good 5-on-5 game. And that's what's going to win it in the playoffs. I mean, again, you need your special teams to work, but I mean, Drew, I have to tell you, like watching Tyler Toffoli in front of the net, which is what have we been talking about? The Jets lacking is someone, but it's not just someone who goes in front of the net. It's someone who goes in front of the net who has hands.
Yes.
And that's what Tyler Toffoli is, right? Like, and we saw it. Like there's a play in the first period where he redirected, I think it was a Monahan pass, and you know, it went up and over, and the whole crowd, ooh, you know, you can see it. You can see what he can bring to a team.
He's a presence in front of the net, and he's a hard presence to move.
That's right. And he's got the Stanley Cup pedigree. He knows how to win. And like we talked about in the last show, and Colin Miller too, you know, that he doesn't have a Stanley Cup ring to his name, but he's got the experience of going on that run with Vegas. Sure. And although I know folks want us to show the Dustin Byfuglien picture of Dustin Byfuglien, because one of the guys that Dustin Byfuglien was holding, if you remember that famous picture of the Byfuglien holding the two Vegas Golden Knights in the scrum, one of them was in fact Colin Miller. So we might have to ask him about that. If the Jets keep winning, maybe we can ask him what he feels.
Maybe not on his first media availability, but if things are light and loose in the dressing room, you can bring that one up at a later date and time. Exactly. Interesting to note that, and this is what I was going to allude to before.
Yeah.
Morgan Barron took 12 faceoffs tonight for the Winnipeg Jets. Vlad Domestikov didn't take any. The reason for that is, according to Jets head coach Rick Bonus, Vlad Domestikov is dealing with, quote, a bad thumb. I don't know if the thumb, if it's one of the piggies that didn't go to the market,
too much
roast beef or what was going on. I guess that's more the toes than the thumb, but that's why Morgan Barron took all the faceoffs tonight for the fourth line, is that Vlad Domestikov dealing with something to do with his thumb.
Well, and the faceoffs for the Jets, I think were 56% or no, 63%
right
in today's game. So
64 to be exact.
Well, if you round up, if you're a rounder upper, but it was 63.6, which I think is fair to round up. But anyways, the point is that, you know, that is a, although how do you win 0.6% of a faceoff, Drew?
It's a great question. That's a mystery that I'm not sure we'll ever understand. They're going to start, you know, those 50-50 faceoffs are now going to become 60-40 faceoffs or 65-35 faceoffs. One final post-game comment, this coming from Murat Ateş, courtesy of Kyle Connor. I guess Kyle Connor, courtesy of Murat Ateş. Mm-hmm. Quote, everything we do now is preparing for the playoffs. How we respond, how we regroup, and the biggest thing is we stuck together. We had each other's backs coming into tonight's game. That's with regard to, of course, the disappointment of Saturday's game in Vancouver and how the Winnipeg Jets, everybody back to pulling on the same rope. And, of course, the next big tent pole to come is the end of the regular season and the beginning of the playoffs. End of the regular season is 1 month from today. When is it?
The 18th. No. It's
the 18th. It's 5 weeks today. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was sometime in sort of that mid-April time. So it's coming up soon. 5 weeks from today is the final regular season game for the Winnipeg Jets. A home game against the Vancouver Canucks. Perchance, could that decide who wins the Western Conference? Time will tell.
Maybe the President's Trophy, Drew.
Maybe the President's Trophy as well. I don't think so. I think that's going to end up going to the
Florida Panthers.
But if I had to bet, I'd still bet on Florida, especially Vancouver without Demko for the next couple weeks. After he left the game injured on Saturday, he's going to be out for the next little bit. But anyways, time shall tell how important that game is on Wednesday, April the 18th. We'll wrap up tonight's post-game show like we always do with the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
The Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
Big thanks to our friends at Tough Duck for their continued support of the Illegal Curve post-game show. He's been angling for one of these for a very, very long time. So I think we're going to be courteous for once.
Sure.
Maybe we're going to kill two birds with one stone on this one. The winner of tonight's Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment is Harvey Minook.
Well, Drew, that the problem is then people are going to accuse you of favoritism here.
I'm not going to. No one's. He's not my cousin. He's your cousin. He's. I got no relation to Harvey. But we're going to bring it in because he's coming back into Winnipeg in May on May the 28th for the Rady JCC Sports Dinner, a dinner that we at Illegal Curve are, of course, proud media sponsors of. So the dinner coming up May 28th, 2024, the Rady JCC Sports Dinner, one of the best dinners on the sporting calendar. Great memorabilia, great prizes, plus the opportunity to hear from Grant Fuhr, Doug Gilmore, and Wendell Clark, all in conversation. And if it's anything like last year when it was Eddie Belfour, Jeremy Roenick, and Chris Chelios, you know that the stories being told are going to be first class. It's a first class dinner, and people, you can be as outraged as you want, but Harvey is of no relation to me, and Dave had no influence on the selection of Harvey as a victor tonight, but we killed two birds, one stone. Harvey wins the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment, and we get to promote the Rady JCC Sports Dinner. What's that?
Are you going to give it to him at the dinner?
I don't know. Ezzy's the one who usually facilitates the giving of the toque. So maybe we'll have to make that.
But just to be clear to the chat, yes. Because just remember, chat, I've never awarded a Manuk when we were giving away the jerseys and all that stuff, the hats and all that stuff. No Manuks won. Just to be clear, I have a list. I can show you the list right now. But the point is, I don't pick. I think I've picked the hardest hitting comment. No, I don't think I ever have, because if Ez is not here, then you do it. So, I mean, I don't think I've ever picked the winner. So you might not like Drew's selection, folks, but do not blame Harvey for having the same last name as me. Look, it may as well be the same last name as Smith. You can't blame the man. I mean, there's so many Manuks in Winnipeg.
So many
Manuks. Harvey's in Toronto.
Exactly. You can't drive down the street without running into a Manuk. Lord knows I've tried.
Although T. Will does make a good point. He says, if the next winner is Drew's daughter, it's totally legit.
Yeah. My daughter tonight asked, do I have to do the post game again? I do too many of the post games is what Aaron said earlier today. So I don't think she's going to win the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment. It might be the meanest comment to dad is what she may have won tonight, but that's a separate issue altogether. Look, folks, what can I say? We ought to give away 82 of these toques over the course of the season, 82 plus for the playoffs. Sometimes I like to throw a curveball. You never know who's going to win or why they're going to win. But in this case, I decided to award Mr. Harvey Manuk the victor of tonight's Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment.
And whenever you can say the name Manuk, it's always a good thing on this show.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
That was nice. That was a good segue.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, things were, did I do a Manuk Moose Minute on Saturday? I think I did, right? Because
it was like 1 a.m. So maybe you did. I don't really remember. We were debating apples for a while. So, strange things were happening.
Yeah, no, that's true. But anyways, this will be a quick one because the Moose did not win yesterday in their rematch with Iowa, mostly because they had two lapses in judgment, if you can call them that, in the first and second periods, which basically cost them the hockey games because they opened the scoring in Iowa, and that was got that first goal. Villanueva. So folks will be focused on that. It was actually a nice pass by Brad Lambert to Villanueva, found the back of the net. It was 1-0 Manitoba, and you're thinking the Moose are rolling. They're going to go for Farley. Is a cousin of mine, Patrick. All the Manuks are related. Farley, I want to say, is like a third cousin to my dad, maybe. I'm not entirely sure, but he's a good dude, that Farley, North Ender, like myself. Anyways, getting back to it, Villanueva, he starts things off. I think it was just 16, but then, like I said, 16 seconds in the first period, he gave up power play goal, then they gave up another one just shortly after, obviously, 16 seconds later to be precise, 2-1 after 20, and then the Moose tie the game. Brad Lambert scores his team leading 18th goal of the season. Nice goal. He goes 5-hole. I think Jeff Blount made the pass, and actually he did because that was a career high for him with 22 assists. But the point is that number 18, Drew, came back to bite them because in 18 seconds, a 2-2 game became a 4-2 game. So the Moose were down 4-2 after 40 minutes, and they gave up another goal to make it 5-2. And then Dmitry Kuzmin, is he a 2021 third rounder? I know he's a third.
No, this is 2023. That's 2021 sounds right to me.
Hold on. Let's I feel like Tico Napoli would be able to give me this right away, but 21 third rounder. There we go.
There you go.
Usually
as
he would also have us covered, but Dmitry Kuzmin gets his first goal in the AHL. He scored in the ECHL, but this is his first AHL goal. So the Jets prospect defenseman, like I said, from the third round in 21, he scores, and the Iowa Wild end up going to a 6-3 win. And so good. Unfortunately for the Moose, their winning streak ends at 5 games. They're in Milwaukee now. They'll take on the Milwaukee Admirals, I believe, on Wednesday night. But the thing I wanted to mention was Brad Lambert. Now he had a goal and 2 assists in the game. He's up to 40 points, which makes him the third highest scoring, or tied for third highest scoring rookie in the AHL. So it's been a really good year for Brad Lambert. Mm-hmm. Nikita Shcherbakov is also having a good year, but Lambert's kind of elevating himself a little bit. But he's been really solid. And, playing center. So
if he continues along this trajectory, he's going to be a steal of a late first round pick for the Winnipeg.
Yeah. So what was it, 30th overall? So, I mean, it was something of that nature. I think
it was definitely 30th, it was right at the end of the first round. He just kept dropping and somebody had to jump up and get him. And that's when the Jets had that second first round pick that year. So, they were all too happy, and they're very happy with his continued development, playing very good hockey for the Moose as of late.
Yeah, so the Moose, unfortunately for them, not a great team game. Well, like I said, a couple of lapses end up in the back of their net. And so it's unfortunate because, like I said, they had been, especially against a team like Iowa, who they were fighting with for that, final fifth and final spot. Mm-hmm. They'll go into Milwaukee, who's really struck the Farm Club of Nashville, who's been really far. That'll be interesting. So both teams, it'll be Nashville here in Winnipeg on Wednesday and the Moose in Milwaukee on Wednesday as well. So that'll be a nice little synergy. Let me tell you, I'm saving up, excited for that Minook Moose Minute. But then the big series, Drew, I know you're excited. Next weekend, Moose are in Chicago to play the Wolves. That's the team they're really battling with, because I think Iowa will fall. So it'll be Moose Chicago next weekend to end their 6-game road trip. And after that, they'll come back. We'll have Moose tickets to give away, and I'll give them to you good folks.
There you go. Dave M will have the Moose covered like he always does, like the best coverage of the Manitoba Moose here in this fair city. Always available on our YouTube channel and illegalcurve.com. That's where you can get tonight's game recap, which Dave M will have up momentarily. And of course, the instant replay and the podcast edition of this post-game show will be available imminently as well. Want to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club. Steph Tlev at Rumors this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. If you've never seen Steph Tlev, I highly, highly recommend it. She is hilarious. Originally from Toronto, now living in Los Angeles, she's performing at Rumors. One show Thursday, 2 shows each Friday and Saturday. Very few tickets remaining. Get those at rumorscomedyclub.com. And of course, if you're heading downtown on Wednesday or Friday to head to the Jets game, you should use our friends at Grid Park and code Illegal Curve, because you can park for free. Book your parking ahead of time. The good folks at Grid Park help me out all the time when I head downtown with their great parking options, and you should take advantage as well. Linden Market Dental Center, they do great work keeping our teeth in our mouth and nice and healthy. Zappia Group Realty for all your realty needs. Betway for when you need to place a bet. Tough Duck for when you need to keep your head warm. Boston Pizza for when you need to fill that belly of yours. And Seagram's and Farmery Beer.
Sounds like you just took a shot there, Drew.
And of course, Rolly's Transfer, when you need to drive my corpse somewhere else and move it from one spot to the other. That's what Rolly's Transfer, one of the many things that they are good for doing. Big thanks to all of you for joining us tonight on the Illegal Curve post-game show. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, leave us feedback here, there, and everywhere. Want to hear what you think of this fine program. Jets win 3-0. All the post-game coverage on illegalcurve.com. Next show, Wednesday, 9:15 p.m. back here on YouTube. Until then, for Dave Minook, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for joining us. This has been... I'm not having a heart attack. I just got something stuck in my throat. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.